Hello and welcome to the Heavenbound Podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Shouse, and we are opening the Bible in search of fuel for your spiritual journey. This is where we talk about life the way it was meant to be and what it means to be a disciple of Jesus in the 21st century. We appreciate you joining us today on the journey. We are wrapping up today, the last Friday in the month of May, a little four-part episode or four-part series that we've entitled Questions Our Hymns Ask. Questions help us learn. Questions lead us to evaluate. They challenge us. And it's really interesting how many of our hymns just very pointedly lead us to ask ourselves and each other questions. And so in episode one of this four-part series, we asked, "Is it for me, dear Savior?" In episode two, "Did you think to pray?" Last Friday, "Can you count the stars?" And today, Roger, in the title, we don't have a question, but over and over again, our hymn, "Sowing the Seed of the Kingdom," reminds us of a really important question.
It does. And, you know, some of the older songbooks would actually put a question as the title, "Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother?" And the song really asks, as you look at the whole page, asks about seven questions, but it's really one question, and that's about sowing the seed of the Word of God. The song was written by Fred Fillmore, who he became known later in life. He was born in Paris, Illinois, which is interesting. I've actually preached in Paris, okay. Illinois. He was born in 1856 and died in 1925. And he was connected with the Disciples of Christ, the Churches of Christ, way back then. And he has written another hymn, "Marching On." We may remember that, "Marching On and On." That was one of his hymns. But when he moved to Cincinnati, he and his brother James became the owner of a publishing house. And through those two, they put out a whole bunch of different hymnals. And in the early 1900s, most of the conservative congregations of the Christian Church, Churches of Christ, were using their hymnals because they were just so well done and researched. He was known to have a very wonderful voice himself, oftentimes going to different places and singing. But he wrote this song, "Are You Sowing the Seed of the Kingdom?" You know, some of the songs and some of our hymns we just love because they bring precious memories to us. They make us think of great thoughts. And then there's some songs, as we sing, we just kind of hold our head down because they kind of make us feel a little guilty. And I think this is one of those. But it asks a great question, and we want to talk about with you.
Yeah. We'll get into some of the lessons in just a moment, but why don't I read the lyrics here just to get it at the front of our minds. "Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother? In the morning bright and fair, are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother? In the heat of the noonday's glare, are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother? In the still and solemn night, are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother? For a harvest pure and white, are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother? All along the fertile way, are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother? You must reap at the last great day, for the harvest time is coming on, and the reaper's work will soon be done. Will your sheaves be many? Will you garner any for the gathering at the harvest home?" A convicting set of questions.
Now, there are two major passages that come to our mind with this. I think behind this, and you can see this a little bit underneath the title of this, is the idea of the parable of the sower. And we remember that in the Gospel of Matthew and also the Gospel of Luke. As Jesus taught that, the sower went out, and he threw his seed, and it went on four different types of soil. Some of it was hard and nothing came up. Some of it came up just a little bit, but didn't have deep roots, and the sun scorched it. Birds got some of it. Sometimes the weeds came up and choked it out. But that one fell on the good soil, the good and honest heart, and it produced what the sower wanted from that. But then when we get to the chorus of this song, "For the harvest time is coming on, the reaper's work will soon be done," that makes us think of the Lord's expression also to his disciples, "I must work while it's day. Night comes when no man can work." And so there's a sense of urgency within this song that we only have so much time and we have to get about doing these things. And so what this song brings to the forefront is the idea of evangelism, sowing the seed. You and I have been taught so we can teach others. We've been shown the way so we can show others. And that's what we want to talk about a little bit here with the rest of our time. You know, when we talk about evangelism, you know, sometimes it's just a lesson down guilt street for a lot of people. And a lot of people feel very uncomfortable with that. I mean, they can talk to a stranger about sports and the politics and share recipes with somebody. But when we talk about Jesus, all of a sudden it's like we kind of grind the gears and we just don't know how to do it. And the song is just reminding us of the urgency of doing those things.
Yeah, I very much understand what you're saying. And I know a lot of people, immediately when they think of evangelism, they have tinges of guilt. I would really encourage you to think about how this is qualified or described in our hymn. We are sowing seed. Now, we understand we do that in all sorts of contexts. In a very real sense, anytime you have a conversation with anyone about anything, you are sowing a seed. That there is something that is coming from your mind and you're sharing it with someone else. Every time you post something on social media or comment on social media, in a sense, you are planting, sowing a seed, right? The first time that you open up social media at the start of a day, you see seeds that have been sown by however many people since the last time you logged on to social media, right? I love how Fillmore, the author of this hymn, doesn't simply say, "Are you sowing the seed?" He makes it clear for us, "Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom?" And I think it's really important, Roger, for us to remind ourselves, this is good news. It is not that, well, we have terrible news to share, and so we're reluctant even to open our mouths and, you know, find the right awkward moment to tell people really, really bad news. This is the best news in the world about the best king who reigns over the greatest kingdom. And maybe if we would remind ourselves of that a little more often, maybe some of those feelings of guilt with God's help could be pointed in the direction of a little more excitement.
And I think it helps us to realize that, you know, the Lord puts us in our hands. He trusts us enough to do this. He doesn't say, "Now get out of the way, you're going to mess this up." It's in our hands. And it began first with the apostles. There was no JV team. There's no guys on the bench. If the apostles messed up and the Lord said, "I'm going to bench you boys and bring up the bench team," that didn't happen. It was upon the apostles. And when we think about this hymn and what is before us, if it's not us, who will it be? Watching the nightly news is not going to bring somebody to Jesus Christ. Talking to a non-Christian neighbor is not going to bring somebody to Jesus Christ. They need to hear the good news out of a good heart. And that's you and that's me. And so just to put some verses out here today, and that famous passage in Mark 16, verse 15, when Jesus told the apostles, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." That would mean every continent, every nation, every state, every city, every street, every house, and every person in that house. And that shows the love of God. God did not want anyone left out. He didn't say in that passage, "Go to the palaces and leave the commoners alone." Nor did he say, "Go to the slums and leave the palaces alone." God wants every person to know the gospel. And then with this, I think sometimes our problem with evangelism is we try to measure it by numbers. You know, I've talked to my coworker, I've talked to my neighbor, I've talked to my brother-in-law, and nothing ever happens. Our job is to sow the seed. It's between them and God if there's going to be a harvest. But our job is just to put that seed out there, and we do that in a number of ways. And that's some of the ways we want to talk about here in just a minute.
Yeah, I think we learned that lesson from that foundational parable of the sower, right? Where our job is not to be evaluators of the soils, right? Our job is to sow the seed. And that seed, Luke chapter 8, is going to come in contact with all sorts of various hearts. Our job is to sow that seed and trust that God will take care of the results. And so I like where you're headed, Roger. Maybe we can just, here at the end of a busy week, think through some simple ways that that seed can be sown even by me.
You know, one of the things we do, and I think you were touching on this, it's kind of like when people try to buy a house, your realtor may sit you down and pre-qualify you. You know, you tell a realtor, hey, there's a $5 million house down the road I want to look at, and you can't afford an apartment. You're going to waste everybody's time. So he's going to pre-qualify you to see even if you can look at that kind of house. We do that. We can do that, and we shouldn't do that. We look at this. Here's a man and a woman. They got two kids. He's got a decent job. He would make a great member of our church. We're pre-qualifying. And we passed a guy who hasn't shaven in four years, and we may think, you know, that guy's kind of messy. But look at some of the people that were around Jesus. They were kind of messy as well.
Yeah, and there were people in his life who were pre-qualifying, right? By asking, well, what are you doing going to the house of Levi, a tax collector, into a house that's full of tax collectors and known sinners. And that's exactly what Jesus was warning us against. It is not our job to figure out, okay, I think he or she would be a good candidate for the gospel. No, our job is to carry the seed with us and spread it everywhere we've got the opportunity.
And I think one of the great fears most people have, I know I've had it in the past, and I think a lot of people have that, is, well, if I invite my brother-in-law, if I invite my coworker to come, what if he asks me a Bible question and I don't know the answer? And that just petrifies us. What you say is, I don't know. That's what you say. And then you go do your homework and you try to find that answer and then you get back with them. But let's talk about different ways that seed is sown. It's not just sown one way. It's sown a lot of different ways. The obvious way, of course, is invite somebody. Once you come to our services, if you know ahead of time what the sermon's going to be or a Bible class is going to be, that may be a topic of interest to somebody. And you might say, hey, we're going to have a special lesson on such and such topic. And you and I were just talking about that 2 weeks ago. Why don't you come and listen to this? And you just invite them. Now, the person may say, well, I've got my own church. Okay. You put the seed out there. Person may say, well, no, I'm not interested. You put the seed out there. But you invite, and that's a powerful way of doing it. Always include prayer when you do that. Pray for the right words, pray for the right time to invite, but you do those things.
I think we can bounce off of that. Roger, you and I continue to see in such encouraging circumstances, okay, there's a lot of seed that is sown in the context of those assemblies, in our sermons, our Bible classes, and things like that. But we live in an extraordinary age where that sermon does not live and end and is forever encapsulated just in that brief moment of time, what happened in the church building. It is captured, it is archived, it is easily shareable. You know, you and I both, it was not that long ago when we remember that, okay, you would preach a sermon and the people in the room hopefully were benefited by that, but that's really as far as that sermon went in the collective memory of those people. Or maybe it was, okay, we're going to move from there to we're going to capture it on cassette tape. My girls don't even know what cassette tapes are. or even CDs, something like that. And, well, you know, we would have to ask in order to get a copy of that and then hang on to it and carry it to someone. Whereas now, it is so easy to share incredibly powerful resources on social media, via email, texts. I would argue it has never been easier to share the good news of Jesus Christ.
And when you do that, you know, it's more than just saying to somebody, hey, you need to go hear my preacher's sermon last week, and then it dies. You wrap a conversation around it. And, you know, you and I have been talking about these things. We've been talking about death. And I know your mama died a couple months ago, and there's some things that was said in the sermon I think will be helpful. And then you follow up. You say, did you get to listen to that sermon or watch that sermon? You know, there's some great things that talks about what happens when we die. And there you have a conversation. And that conversation is just another part of building that bridge to lead somebody to the Lord. But that's a great way. There are so many different tools to share on social media. And it's so easy today. You may not have the gift of gab, and you may not be able to be real comfortable talking to somebody. But you can say, hey, come over to my house, have a meal. Let's listen to this together, because this is something we've been talking about. And you can do that. And it's a very, very easy way of doing that.
I'd add to that, you cannot improve just by making that personal, face-to-face, eye-to-eye conversation, maybe looking for an opportunity. You mentioned, okay, maybe a coworker has a parent who is very ill or has passed away, and you've got an opportunity in that moment simply to say, you know what, I'm going to keep you in prayer for the next few days. And if you'd like to talk anymore, if I can be of any help, maybe someone is open to a Bible study. I mean, there are so many different ways, but we should not discount that face-to-face, very personal invitation.
Another way, and I think the Bible is just full of this principle, and that is, I think you sow the seed by showing people by the way you live.
Yeah.
Your example. What does Christianity look like? What does it look like when you're at the workplace? What does it look like when you're in school? What does it look like when you're out having fun on Friday night? What is Christianity supposed to look like? And I think some people have already made the assumption in their mind, well, Christians are almost like monks. They just walk around and they're very serious all the time. They have no fun. They're against everything. And I look at that and think, that's not for me. And that's not what Christianity is. And you can show them Christians can have the best time, the best fun, and enjoy life, but from a godly standpoint. And, you know, one of the passages that comes to my mind, you think of Jesus saying we are the light of the world. That idea of attracting, people see that light. Peter would say in 1 Peter 3, verse 15, to sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. People recognize the hope in you. And when we live in hopeless times and despair and worry and complain, you're not like that. You're not like everyone else at work. You're not like everyone else in the family. You're different. Why? And the answer is Jesus. I can show you why. Let me show you. I used to be just like you. And sometimes, as Jason said, in this face-to-face conversation, it's not that we're better than people, but what we do sometimes is tell our own story. You know, I used to do those kind of things. I used to be right where you're at. And it's nothing special with me, but I found the Lord. And through the teachings of the Bible, it changed my life. And I am so glad to be a Christian. And that's a big part of evangelism, is being upbeat and positive. I mean, you know, you go up to somebody and say, you probably don't want to go to church with me, do you? And they'll probably say, no, I probably don't. You know, somebody says, hey, you up to getting a root canal? Do I have to? What other options do I have? But when you talk about what a great experience the Lord is, And he emphasized not the church, he emphasized the Lord. The Lord forgives. The Lord is patient. The Lord changes your life. It has been a wonderful, wonderful journey being with the Lord. Easy? Not always. Sometimes we stumble ourselves. But what a great, great experience it is what the Lord has done for us.
Yeah. I don't know that I have ever met the person who would say, you know what, I've got this. I am adequate to do this. I am worthy to do this. But what great comfort we should take from passages like 1 Corinthians 3, where even the apostles are spoken of in terms of neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but it is God who gives the growth. And you see that in the lives of very unworthy people in the Gospels who couldn't answer every question, who didn't know what the future held, but they were excited to tell others about the impact that Jesus had had on their lives. I'd really encourage you the next time we sing this song. And in fact, we're going to wrap up this episode in just a moment by playing you a recording of congregational singing of this song. The next time we sing this, I'd really encourage you not to look at it from the standpoint of, oh boy, another reminder of something I ought to be doing, but I haven't been doing as much as I should. View it as an invitation to share the greatest news in the world. A reminder that, as the hymn encourages us to realize, in the morning, in the afternoon, at night, literally and in the morning, afternoon, and evening of life, we have opportunity, as long as we are here, to share the greatest news about the greatest person who has ever lived.
And I would encourage us to be mindful of that. You know, make a list of some people that's near and dear to you that are not Christians. Start praying about those people. Start praying the Lord will give you an opportunity somewhere, somehow, just a door will open. And then to kind of focus on those things. And don't be discouraged. You know, somebody says, no, I'm not interested. Well, don't just, put a cross with their name and just say, okay, they're marked off and move on to the next person. Always find another way. As long as there's life in the body, there's hope. And you just keep trying and you keep trying. You try this way, you try that way, and just stay true to what you know is what the Bible teaches. And what a difference it can make.
We hope this series has encouraged you. If you're a member of our Charlestown Road Church family, actually this Sunday evening, we've got a singing scheduled, and we're going to fill that evening, Sunday at 5 o'clock p.m., with questions asked by our hymns. Roger, thanks for joining me today. Thanks to all of you for listening to this episode of the Heaven Bound Podcast, this series. Thanks for sharing. We hope that these are valuable resources you can share with others to let them know the impact that Jesus has had on your life. We hope our time together has helped you set your mind on things above and given you a little more fuel for the journey. Always remember, when you're walking with Jesus, you are heaven bound, and the best is yet to come.